You had the audacity to close out Audacity.
Oh, no. I'm looking through screenshots to remember what the news was, but Emily, this is like the oldest picture that Emily has of me.
What are you doing?
I think I took her phone and I just took a picture of myself with
it. That looks like the point of view of someone sucking your dick and they start using teeth. And that's like what your face is. Like, oh. You're like, stop. Oh,
please,
that.
Please. Nope. Okay, and we're going live now.
All righty. Welcome back to the Trade Writers Podcast. What do we do here?
We read books.
We read a different trade paperback every week.
It's paperback.
It's like a comic book.
It's like a book club. Yeah.
I'm Daniel. He's Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
All the time.
Is that all the things?
We should probably write down what we say in the beginning.
Ah.
Just wing it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I think that's everything. How are you doing, Daniel?
You know, I'm pretty swell. I'm a little hungry, but...
Well, you know what? The people don't care about you, you fucking idiot. Let's get into the news.
they don't care about how hungry I am.
No.
They don't care about me and how much I'm eating.
Yeah. Big news week.
Dude, so much news.
So much news.
Like, and it all happened in, like, the last 2 days, and I'm like, ooh!
I know, dude. Well, actually, one of the things I got, like... on like Monday, and I was like, that's interesting news, but it's not nearly as cool as like the stuff that happened.
Is it like
last
the Power Rangers news?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, so there's like
Boom. I know what Power Rangers are.
Boom is rebooting, I guess, the Power Rangers comics, and they're doing like two new series. I was like, oh, comic news.
Oh, nice.
they're doing the series Mighty Morphin, and then also another one that includes a mysterious Green Ranger.
Don't we know who the Green Ranger is?
There's a different one, though. This one's got, like, different kind of colors on his
helmet. Is he the one that... Helmet. Is he the ranger that the actor in the show broadsworded his roommate and killed him? Or is that the Red Ranger?
No. Different. I know that that's a thing, but it's a different Green Ranger. Like, there's a Green Ranger on the Power Rangers, and then this other one that's, like, mysterious, and they don't know
who
he is.
Did you see a picture of him? Did he have a broadsword?
No, it's just his helmet.
That'd be some dark humor if they made a signature weapon a broadsword.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the news that I got. Apparently, one of the Power Rangers books from like 2 years ago is like really good, actually.
I'd be so down to read like just a kick-ass Power Rangers book and just try and explain it.
I'll track down which one's kick-ass and we should read that.
That'd be fun.
I had, before all the cool stuff, 2019 North American comic sales hit $1.21 billion. Which is like higher than it's been in like forever, maybe it was like record breaking.
We're just now getting those numbers,
I guess.
Those are the numbers for all of 2019.
Yeah, all of
that's pretty cumulatively, sick, dude. Yeah. Just books, comic books.
Yeah, comic books
as small and as
North American comic sales. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so
because like
people always say that like it's like a dying industry or whatever, but that's pretty significant.
That seems pretty good.
I don't have $1 billion.
No, I only have $500 million, and so that's a lot.
From this podcast.
Right. All our sponsors.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because like, I feel like just not everyone likes, you know, the superhero movies,
mm-hmm.
and then even less people read like that original content, and just to hear that it's a $1 billion industry in North America alone.
Yeah. Well, I think with all the comic stuff that's out there, not even just like movies, but all the like TV shows and stuff that are coming out, I imagine that's probably contributed to like a growth in comic sales at some point.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Interesting to see. But yeah, that's just a little fun fact. Bigger news. Why was there a lot of news? Is it San Diego Online?
You know, this is news I stole from the Weekly Planet. I just wanted to bring up.
Okay.
So Marvel is getting the Alien and Predator.
Oh, I heard about that.
You know, I don't know, titles?
That was like last week.
Yeah.
They're getting
the rights to, Alien. To make those comics.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun for like crossovers. It's like Iron Man versus Xenomorph.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know what I would be interested to see.
Or at least Marvel exclusive writers writing on that. Yeah. Imagine like a Charles Soule Predator or something like that.
I'd read that.
You'd read the fuck out of that.
I'd read like a Jason Aaron one, I think.
Oh,
because like he's brutal.
He would love that shit.
Or like a Donny Cates Predator or Alien would
nah,
be pretty.
Nah, he'd do Alien.
For sure, he would do Alien, yeah. Because he's a pretty brutal writer in general. So, if they had a crossover, though, who would you do? I think I'd do Kraven and Predator.
That seems...
I thought of that just now.
Oh, damn, that's perfect. Maybe like
I don't know who'd hunt who.
Maybe like the Skrulls versus Xenomorphs.
Okay.
That'd be kind of a deep cut. Mm-hmm. But I think that could be fun.
Maybe like a... What if it's like Fantastic Four and Xenomorphs? They're like out in space doing something and then they run into Xenomorphs.
Oh, dude, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't think that fits.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that won't work.
Doesn't seem like it'll mesh.
It's a stupid idea. That's why you're doing this.
No, that's the obvious idea. I don't know why we didn't think of that first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, some cool like that. Because there's always like Batman and... Predator like
yeah.
that exists, and Batman and Aliens I think also exists, and Green Lantern and Aliens is like a really good one actually.
Okay.
Which is also just a very natural fit.
Sweet.
But those are cool ones.
Yeah, I'll keep a lookout for those. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just because I've never read those comics.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I remember when like Alien versus Predator came out, like in the theaters, like after leaving the theater, I went to that old comic shop, Atomic Comics at mm-hmm. the Chandler Mall before they shut down.
Because they were like selling weed or something.
Yeah, they had like some drug scandal kind of thing. but anyway, and I was like I didn't know anything. And so I just picked up an Alien comic and I looked through it. It was the most brutal shit I've ever seen. I was like, oh my God. And I was like 7 at this point. So it was like a little scarring.
Do you know what it was? We should read it.
I would have to check to see what was around the time, but I have no idea.
Was it like new or did it look old?
It looked new. It was on like where the new releases would be. It wasn't in any, you know, back issue boxes or anything.
That'd be fun to see what was on the shelves at that time.
I think there's like a really good Alien story that came out like a year or two ago. People were talking about it a lot. That'd be fun to do as well.
Yeah, I think we should do some other like movie properties.
Yeah, that just have comics based off movies. Yeah, I'd be
like
down.
A Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Or we could do the Alien versus Predator versus Judge Dredd.
Ah, by our friend of the
podcast. Friend of the podcast.
John Layman.
Yep.
So yeah, that was that news. What else did I steal? Oh, there's an animated... Do you have something else on Alien?
Are you talking about Yosagi Yojimbo?
No, but we'll say that now. Yosagi Yojimbo is getting
an animated TV series
on Netflix.
That's
which
awesome.
Is fucking sick.
Dude, it better be... I've never read it, but I think it's going to be really like...
We got to read it now.
It's got to be very violence heavy, I feel.
No, I think they'll take it back because it's animated. And I think... Because Aunt Dawn told us like... Hey, like she knew who Usagi Yojimbo was because
from Ninja Turtles?
From the Ninja Turtles cartoon. I guess he was in that at some point.
There's probably a crossover thing that they were doing.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar, but
so
yeah, we
I
should
think
totally
they would keep it kid friendly for sure.
Okay.
We just read like the first trade or something.
That'd be cool. Why was there a bunch of like announcements and stuff? Was one of the online conventions going on? Because I don't think San Diego happened, right?
Fandome is
not happening yet.
It's like all that's in August, I think.
Okay, interesting. Well, couple comic book announcements.
Okay.
We'll save the obvious best one for last.
Okay.
Donny Cates, who is really big right now for doing like Venom and Thor.
He's like writing everything for Marvel right now.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of them. And he came out with two announcements. One is his Marvel book called The King in Black. A prominent character in Venom is Null. Character named Null.
Dude, what?
Yeah.
He's writing a Null book
that's gonna be like a super big like event book that lands in December, I think.
Oh fuck, he's the only person that could do that.
And the normal artist on there, Ryan Stegman, who's phenomenal. He's like I think probably the best at Marvel right now.
Oh.
In my opinion. He's gonna be doing the art on it as well. And they've been doing the Venom run together.
Yeah.
And so, dude, that whole run's just been
I just
insane.
Learned about Null from this like random Marvel facts like TikTok account.
The black dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch all those.
He's so good.
I
learned
follow
so
him
much.
Or anything, but it's forced on me and I just watch him.
I watched one, I'm like, this is Titan follow.
Cool.
That's sick though.
Yeah, so that's gonna be really
Do you know
exciting.
Who Null was before that TikTok?
Yeah. Because I read Venom.
Oh, okay.
I've read... It's on issue 20... 6, I believe, right now. So yeah, it's a really good book. He also, thank you for turning the fan this way.
I know, it's cooking
it. Why do you aim it at you?
Dude, I'm aiming it at the other side of the room so it'll flow and hit both of us.
I don't think it's powerful enough to do that.
Do you want me to oscillate?
I think
that's the word, right?
Yeah, I think so. What if it just hits me and then it'll bounce off the wall and hit you?
I don't want it to hit directly on the microphones.
I guess you're right.
We got to think about the people.
All right, fine. This will work. Anyway, other Donny Cates book is going to be an image book called Crossover, which all we really know about it is that it's going to be like a superhero book that is in like, it's kind of a take on like superhero event books or like crisis books or something.
Oh, cool.
And it's going to be all Image, but it's the creative team that did God Country, okay, which is one that he did. Which
did
we
you
should
ever read that?
I did read it. It's such a smooth like read, and it's actually like really good. And like a lot
it's
of
weird
like,
how that's hard to find now.
It really is.
Like, somewhere kind of choppy.
It's just like it's all told like it's not told out of sequence or anything like a lot of comics are.
Uh-huh.
It's just like through and through, just really good. And so we should definitely read it because the artist on it, Jeff Shaw, is
okay,
unbelievable.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. So we should totally do that.
The more I think about what we could read makes me realize how much I fucking read. Because I'm yeah, like, oh, we should do this.
I know, dude. It's unreal.
Do you want to pause it for a second? I feel like that's turned up to the point where we might hear it.
Yeah, let me see.
Just play it back.
Okay, hopefully that's better if it was bad before.
I'm so embarrassed.
We are professionals, Daniel.
I worry about, I didn't even notice it. And then like, because I worry about the sound like all the time. And I feel like we just got it to peak quality. People probably didn't even notice.
So we should just absolutely destroy it now. Destroy any quality that we have.
Right. Let's just restart, okay?
Okay.
So okay. Crossover.
Donny Cates, Crossover, some sort of superhero book. We don't know much about it yet.
Okay.
Jeff Shaw's great. We should read God Country.
Okay. In other news.
In the best news, probably.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. You want to do books. Go ahead.
What new news do you have?
There's going to be an animated TMNT show.
Yeah.
And it's going to be produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
I heard, isn't it? Wasn't there another name tied to it?
Yeah, but I don't know who it is.
Okay.
And then it's directed by someone else. But, like, you know, they created The Boys most recently, and then yeah, they did Preacher. And so I'm excited.
Yep. They're doing an Invincible movie still, I think.
Yeah, that's in the works.
Yep. That's still going, I think.
Good things.
Yeah, lots of good things. So did you hear about the new Disney Plus series, the Star Wars one?
Yeah, the
Star Wars Bad Bunch.
The Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, yeah.
I guess it's talking about the Bad Batch of clones or something.
I don't know.
And that's
looks cool. About. It was animated, and it's going to be the showrunner is going to be Dave Filoni, who does a bunch of like really good Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, he did Clone Wars, right?
Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Rebels and a lot of Avatar Last Airbender.
He directed a couple of Mandalorian episodes.
Did he?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I know he's going to have more involvement in season two, but I wasn't sure about season one.
Because they had that like making of show on Disney Plus for The Mandalorian, and he was in that.
Was that good?
I just watched the director's one because they actually released it on like a schedule, so I haven't come back to it.
Cool. All right. Any other ones?
No, just the big one.
All right, we got Rorschach.
Rorschach, he's back,
motherfucking
baby.
That was such a big surprise to me,
and it just came out of nowhere. I'm like, this is fake.
So it's written by Tom King with art by Jorge Fornes, and then colored by Dave Stewart. And that's like the best possible team.
That's like one of my favorite colorists, one of my favorite writers, and then Jorge is really good.
I think Jorge is probably one of my... He's definitely one of my favorites. I don't have like a top favorite artist. I think it's like a top 10.
Yeah, I know. He's in the top 10 for sure.
Absolutely. And I think he's going to be perfect for the more... It looks like it's going to be more noir type stuff, which is funny because Tom King has been like alluding for like the past year that he's been watching like a lot of noir movies and stuff for an upcoming project. And so it's going to be like very like heavily noir based, but it's cool knowing what that's going to, because I thought it was going to be like a creator owned thing.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a black label book, mm-hmm, meaning like there's no rules. They can have dicks in there if they want.
Exactly.
And a lot of gore. And so, yeah. And like the only time Rorschach's been in something is anything Watchmen labeled or right. Doomsday Clock. So this will be really cool. Just standalone. Like, I felt like the Rorschach stuff in the movie and book was like the most interesting stuff. Just kind of how he talks to himself and stuff. Or he records what he thinks in his journal.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rorschach's journal.
Rorschach's journal.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so it'd be just a lot of...
Is Dave Stewart... He was the artist.
For
Watchmen.
Dave Gibbons.
Isn't Dave Stewart then the colorist?
He's a colorist, yeah.
He's just a colorist.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I know him. I think he did...
looking it up.
He did Black Hammer. That's how I know him.
Okay. I think he's done something. I don't know why that name sticks out to me, but
maybe you're thinking of Matt Wilson.
No, I know who Matt Wilson is.
That's a colorist too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When
I said,
Hellboy. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
He's on Hellboy.
Mike Mignola's Hellboy. Okay. I thought, who's the colorist for Watchmen then?
I think it was just Dave Gibbons.
Okay, never mind.
Because I thought it was just the two people.
Anyway, that were tied to it. Still excited.
Or maybe that was back in the time when they didn't like credit colorists.
It could have been.
And so it could have been like a ton of people.
Yeah, maybe. You know? All right, cool. Yeah, I'm super excited for that. That's the first real like solely Watchmen thing that we're getting since, you know,
the crossover they tried.
Basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be definitely a good one.
I mean, and I think we got the show.
The show's I think the big like token for me that it's not Watchmen isn't like untouchable, you know?
Yeah,
because a lot of like before Watchmen stuff people really didn't like that much. I haven't read any of them, but you know, people don't like the Watchmen movie, but it's pretty uniformly like known that the Watchmen show on HBO is pretty awesome. It's like definitely my favorite show last year.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So, cool. Very good stuff. That was the news that you probably heard already.
But you just hear our not-so-hot takes on it.
Yep. Our very normal takes on those things.
Same reactions that everyone has.
Yep. So, what book did we read, Daniel?
We read this Bitch week? Planet.
Bitch Planet.
Yes.
It is written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, who is the... who's a pretty famous writer, most notably making Carol Danvers into Captain Marvel at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty big writer. This is like, I would say, probably what she's most known for as far as like an image creation. Mm-hmm. Recommended to us by other friend of the show, Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, so many friends.
Artist Valentin Delandro and then Chris Peter on colors. Or no?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Clayton Cowles.
Callis
on letters.
Yep, he's everywhere, dude.
Is he really,
dude? I feel like he letters like most things.
I feel like I don't even recognize him.
He did a lot of like Tom King's Batman run, if not all of it.
I guess I don't pay attention that much.
Yeah, but yeah, this is a the idea is that Bitch Planet is a planet separate from Earth where women are taken as prisoners there. And that's just like where they live.
It's like female jail.
Yeah, female jail on a different planet.
Uh-huh.
They're all transported there, and it's guarded by men that are in like suits and masks and stuff. And it's the story of some of the people in there.
So, my just overall thoughts. This was kind of confusing for me. Like I was waiting for it to like make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Super good book, and I really liked a lot of it.
I did too.
But just like I was thinking about how I was going to explain it on here. I think you did well, but like just kind of explaining like the society and like how it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a thing that I like where they show you and not tell you. But definitely. I think with this kind of concept, it's important to kind of tell a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot that's kind of going on there as far as like how it got to this point and like what kind of society looks like on this bitch planet. It's not actually called Bitch Planet. It's called something else, but everybody knows it as Bitch Planet in the book.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a little bit confused at some points too, because there's one of the storylines of it is on Earth and people talking about it.
That's like the... It's like the politics of it.
The politics, like, and the people kind of behind it and currently running it almost.
Like the leaders, they're called the fathers.
Or the council.
They refer to them as the council as well. But there's like a main father or whatever.
Okay,
and it's just a dude.
And I felt like this first trade was mainly planting a lot of seeds. So there's a lot of things that I wrote down that didn't get like covered in the first trade, which is fine. Because like I think the whole series is 18 issues.
Altogether, I think the first run is like 10, and then there's like a spinoff, which may or may not be like a continuation or just a spinoff.
I think I saw it was 18 books on Comixology.
Oh, I could be wrong.
I could be wrong too, but, yeah, so it almost felt like when it ended, it felt like that was like the end of like one of the issues almost.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it would have done a little bit like, I feel like if they did one more issue in it where there's like more stuff, but I mean, I guess at the same time at the end of the book, that was like a big turning point. I think almost like The Walking Dead, like at the end of that, like
yeah,
it was the end of that issue, like there's still a lot of story that needs to be told. But at that point, it's a turning point where like Carl kills somebody, you know?
Yeah. It's still a satisfying ending to a trade. Throughout the book, they're kind of planting the seeds of what's going to happen, and you know it's going to happen, and but it probably doesn't get to that point until the last issue or two.
And it's all very interesting too. So
I just want to learn more about like the society and like how it works.
Definitely.
And I think what kind of works is that she leaves like all these like breadcrumbs. So you piece it together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like at the end of each issue, there's these like propaganda looking like pages, and that kind of helps as well.
Yeah, like paint the picture of what this like story is.
Yeah.
Or what the world is like, basically.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, it's a very big like feminism book, and I think it's done really well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just because of the way that like it does really well, like portraying like how women are sort of viewed on this planet, and like the women in there have like a deeper story than like what I think the rest of the public is supposed to think about them if they're on that planet. So in general, I think it's like handled really well and shows like a lot of like feminism traits that are important to think about.
So, yeah.
But anyway, want to jump into issue one?
Yeah. So I had like two notes on this just because it was a lot. And I guess the way I took notes on this is a little different than how I normally would. I'd be like, oh, important things. But it all was kind of important, you know? But
yeah,
it was nothing like crazy this issue, you know? I just wrote like some sort of female prison.
you nailed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I'll be dependent on you for this issue.
It's a planet that acts as a prison for women. It's named Bitch Planet. The planet's enforced by men. I said all this stuff. They're there to enforce the planet. And the book kind of opens up with a group of prisoners arriving to Bitch Planet at an outpost. And they were transported there from Earth in like these cloning pod looking things. And they're being like directed to their uniforms. They're currently like naked, like because they just got out of the pods.
They call those pods like the soup. Because I guess it's just some sort of goop you go in and then it puts you to sleep or something.
I think since I missed
it takes
that.
Like, it was so subtle, but I just thought it was funny. And so
I guess we're getting in the soup.
And I guess not everyone survives like the trip.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
okay. I think I missed that part too. But they get out and they're being directed kind of in a line to where their uniforms are. And there's like a pink hologram lady that's there that everybody hates, which plays an interesting role in the story. But we immediately get like a sense of the brutality of this place when one of the girls, whose name is Penelope, or Penny, who's like a really big and bulky person, almost like a kingpin kind of shape, I would say, doesn't think that she'll fit in one of her uniforms and is like beaten because of it. And so a riot like immediately starts, and one girl says that she doesn't deserve any of this before she gets knocked out. And one of the things that I liked about this immediately right off the bat is that the artist, Valentine, like the anatomy that she like draws is so, it's like incredible. Normal. Because it's honest and like, yeah, raw.
It's like,
cause like all these women are naked and they're not like, they're, it's just like honest. Like they're not super hot. Unrealistic. It's just like a normal,
it's not thing. Unrealistic proportions that right. are normally in comics.
It's just like honest anatomy. And what? So I thought that
people
was,
will look like,
yeah, exactly. And so I think that's, part of it. I think that's what plays into a lot of the feminist, things in this book. And so also the colors are dope in the facility. I wrote that down.
What kind of, what I thought was interesting is like the reason that people, like women, go to the prison is for like the littlest thing.
Yeah.
Like men are like, you know, just held so highly, and then women are basically like assets.
Yeah.
And they have to like comply and be compliant, and they can go to Bitch Planet for things as little as, you know, being a bad mother or showing a little disrespect
exactly.
to like a husband.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah. And apparently in this future, it's gotten to the point where it's easy to just transport everybody to a planet and just not even think about them. But then there's like also this thing going throughout the book where there's these two guys that are clearly like monitoring the whole thing.
The whole planet, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like just these two dudes, and they're kind of talking back and forth as like things are going on in the book. And we don't really find out much about them really in this book.
Yeah, they weren't too important. I think they're just kind of...
I assume they'll become more important later.
It's cool to see like, you know, someone pulling the strings as far as like what the hologram lady's doing and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But they, yeah, they didn't really have much of a story. Or maybe they are a storytelling device.
Yeah. But I think for later on.
Perhaps.
So so now we cut to Earth to a guy named Mr. Collins, who's trying to meet this lawyer dude named Solanza, I believe. And his wife, Marion Collins, out of Bitch Planet because he believes... That, clearly, I was tired when I was writing this.
So
basically, his wife is in Bitch Planet, but he believes that it was like a mistake. And like she was detained as a mistake and is there now. And meanwhile, the girl that said that she, doesn't deserve to like be there during that riot, we find out is kind of like married to this dude. And so, meanwhile, like while he's meeting with Solanza, Marion meets with the pink hologram lady again to tell her story for why she doesn't think that she belongs. And so, Marion, there's a sequence where Marion and Mr. Collins tell the story like one panel at a time, and it's like the same story, and it's like matching up to kind of like tell you that they were married.
And then he cheated, I guess.
Yeah, and the story is that there was an affair between Mr. Collins and some chick named Dawn, and Marion was hurt and gave him like death threats and stuff because eventually,
I think she hurt him. Like she said, like I didn't mean to hurt anybody or something like that.
I think that meant just feelings.
Maybe.
I didn't get the sense that she was violent towards anybody, because I don't think that she would really feel as strong as she does about not being there. Okay. But I guess they worked it out with like money and stuff, and we find out later that it was like a switch up in like the storytelling, and Dawn was accidentally detained for a bit in place of Marion on Earth, but she was never sent out to the planet. So it was like a switcheroo for the reader, which really threw me off at first.
Meaning like Collins wanted... he was like there to get Dawn back, which he does.
Dawn is Dawn Collins.
But you think he's talking about Marion.
Yeah, but the reader thinks that he's talking about Marion, but really he doesn't give a shit about Marion at all.
Right, because like she's like the most innocent one there.
Yeah.
And she's like...
And so you're like, oh, she's
I don't belong here. And then like, as he's like working to get her out of there, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. She's going to get out.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't.
And Dawn goes into the scene and is like, oh, you came to get me. And then he doesn't give a shit about anything that's going on there. So it was just like a weird way. It like was a weird switcheroo.
And it really made sense to me as I was reading.
It didn't make sense to me at first.
Really? Okay. I got it. Because, I picked up on it right away.
Okay. You're probably just smarter than me, but I was like, I don't even know these characters. So like having a switcheroo like that so quick, I'm just not smart enough for that, I guess. But on Bitch Planet, Marion is being taken by one of the cops after speaking to the hologram lady, probably to get like beaten up or killed, when one of the prisoners that are there that's watching steps up and starts fighting, which causes like a riot. Marion is helped out by another girl who takes her away and fights off a lot of the guards. But Marion gets snuck up on from behind and gets her throat slit from behind. And she bleeds out on the floor, and the two monitor guys focus on the girl that was helping her. Her name is Kameo Kogo?
Kamau.
Kamau? Okay. Saying that's
just the pronunciation I read in my head, so I'm correcting you. But they call her Cam. They call her Cam.
Yeah, they call her Cam the rest of the time. I don't have to try and pronounce it.
She ends up being like the main character.
Mm-hmm. So saying that, but the two monitor guys saying that she might be the star of their show. And so that's another switcheroo, is that we thought the focal point of the story was going to be Marion, but she just got murdered, which that part I actually liked.
Yeah, no, that was good.
But it was also kind of weird that we weren't even like hinted at Cam being the main character in the story until literally like the last page.
I kind of would even like it if this book was just about like life on Bitch Planet, and
right.
every issue had like a different focal point as far as the character.
We kind of almost feel that a little bit.
It follows Cam. Yeah. So, but I think it could have worked really well if it was like, oh, Cam this issue and then Penny this issue.
And I really like that riot at the end, but really the part where Marion gets her throat like slit, the way that they do it is that it's like a close up on her like mouth and like all of her face is blacked out, and you can only like see her lips, and you could like see the shock like on her lips, and you see like kind of a brutal like blood coming out from like the cut in her neck.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, and it's just like good it's panel. So yeah, and you don't need like the rest of the face, because everything you need to know is just accentuated in the cut and then her lips, which is clearly like shocking. So I thought that was super cool.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of creative things that are done kind of in this book,
and like then like that. The colors slightly fade to black and white. There's three panels, it's like fully colored, then like kind of a damp
as she's like losing,
and then it's black and white
as she's like bleeding out. Yeah,
yeah, and dying.
I think that's
pretty sick.
I thought that was cool. So move on to issue two. There's a big party thing that's like going on Earth, and a speech is being told by a character named Father Josephson. After a speech, he goes to talk to a dude named Brandon, telling him that engagement is down overall. And so that leads us to believe that he's part of like some sort of like TV show production thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever really got all the details about that yet. But you get the gist everybody on Earth is watching them because there's cameras on Bitch Planet. And so people are kind of seeing what's going down. And
there are cameras on Bitch Planet?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so one of the big things with Father Josephson is just the engagement, not just the ratings. It's like the engagement.
Oh, okay.
And so whatever that means, I don't really know, but
I think it's like response,
probably,
you know, like rate, like getting ratings,
exactly,
in comments or whatever.
But Father Josephson brings Brandon to the side and tells him that the council wants more engagement, and basically tells Brandon to do better, and then leaves. And then Father Josephson runs into Salanza, the lawyer dude from the last issue, and Salanza says that he might be able to help him, alluding to Bitch Planet, we think.
Right.
So every issue kind of starts with like a prologue sequence that's like on Earth, and then it kind of cuts to Bitch Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably closes up on Earth sometimes too, but,
So Cam is in like this solitary confinement kind of room that has just you know, TVs like all over the wall or whatever. Yeah,
a bunch of screens and stuff,
and it's like that hologram from earlier that's like trying to like brainwash Cam into thinking that she killed Marion, even though it was obviously like a guard and she saw that.
Yeah,
but just like, you know, repeatedly just beating into her that she did that,
but clearly she didn't, because it was a guard that snuck up and she was actually trying to protect her, but
right.
She's pretty strong-willed and like knows that she didn't.
Uh-huh.
And she ends up like punching one of the screens that are supposed to be shatterproof, but she ends up shattering it. So that didn't work very well. And then enters a girl in uniform named Miss Whitney, in like a full armor suit. She's with like the guards and everything there. She's not one of the people on Bitch Planet. And so they talk for a bit, but Whitney wants to get Cam to form a team for the council where they help enforce the prison and get the ratings up.
Because she's proven to be, like, athletic.
Yeah, she's, like, athletic and can do all those things. And so, and she uses, like, the framed killing of Marion as leverage, kind of. But Cam still says no, and then they both leave. But,
yeah, I guess they really hit it home that the fathers are, like, really big fans of sports. And I guess, like, the sport that they're talking about, what do they call it?
Megaton?
Yeah, Megaton. That's like the only sport they have, apparently.
Exactly.
And so they have professional teams or whatever that are dudes mostly, I think.
Yeah.
Dude, there was one that was actually like kind of a racist name. Did you notice? Did you pick up on that?
No.
I don't know if this is the next one, but there's a team called the Arizona Wetbacks.
Yeah, I noticed that one.
I was like,
because it was Arizona.
What the fuck?
Why is that?
Do you know what a wetback is?
I don't.
So that's like a racial slur, derogatory towards Hispanics, because there is a river that goes along Texas that you have access from Mexico in order to get into America. And so Mexicans like had to swim through the river in order to get to
get in
America. So your backs get
that's
wet
fucked up.
Swimming. Yeah, no, it's super fucked up. So I'm like, okay.
I totally missed that. I was like, yeah, Arizona.
I was like, oh, fuck.
And I was like, oh, cool. You know, Arizona's getting some representation.
Yeah, like the Florida one, it was like the Florida Winners or something. Like
Patriot.
It was something super tame. And yeah. Then the Arizona one, I'm like, God.
So, it was in this scene where she's in like the room where I kind of made the connection that the pink hologram lady kind of looks like Kelly Sue DeConnick. Do you know what she looks like?
Yeah, she's in the Captain Marvel movie, right?
Yeah, she looks like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like it totally
red hair.
I wonder
bangs,
if that's like on purpose. Yeah, the bangs that are
shorter, so, I think.
I assume that's what it's supposed to be. But also, yeah, the sports are like a big thing in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how she like how Whitney compares it that sports is like an outlet of for what would otherwise be destructive behavior, because like it has like order and fairness and structure to it. I thought that was just kind of like an interesting thing to try and get her to be on board with forming a team. I just thought it was interesting viewpoint,
right?
Because like, you know, there's no sports right now, there's a bunch of violence and stuff going on. Not saying that's the reason, but yeah.
So definitely bring sports back.
Yeah. So yeah, cut to later. Cam is running on a treadmill with a character named Violet. Violet had heard about this proposal and wants Cam to do it. And even prepared like a team for her in mind so that she can try and revolt in some way. Violet leaves and then Miko comes in saying that she should do it too. She talks about how half the council is going to be on like a ship later that Miko actually designed. So Cam goes back to Miss Whitney and saying that she will form the team on the condition that she gets the name of the actual killer of Marion.
As well as like, you know, she also wanted like her assets to be released to her family, because I guess they put those on hold if you go to Bitch Planet.
Oh, okay.
And then also she wanted like, you know, the stats of everyone who is in prison, like their weight.
So that she could pick like the team, yeah.
Right.
So I really, this, just throughout the book, I really like the like halftone coloring that's throughout the book, which is like the comic book dots that are pretty classic. And
oh, yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah, I think that always just looks really appealing to me. But in this scene in particular, it's like super pink in the background.
Uh-huh.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's used really well.
Yeah. And also in this scene, we see Penny, the big girl, big kingpin girl. And she's like trying to run on the treadmill, but she starts like slow down at some point, and then one of the guards like starts to fight her. And then the fight just gets bigger and bigger throughout this scene. I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So.
And then they shoot back to the father talking to some dude, and he lets him know about like one of the athletes that died from
Ricky.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the father notices that there's like a lot more engagement.
Yeah.
Now that someone's died.
Yep. And so then Josephson now wants to entertain the idea from Salanza.
Right. Yep. Oh, is that his name?
Yeah. He's the dude with like the mustache that was talking to him.
Wait, so the father is
the father? The father is Father Josephson, the one, okay. That guy in the suit, and then the one that was talking to Mr. Collins in the beginning, he's the one with the mustache.
Right. Okay.
All right.
You paid more attention to that than me.
I had to write him down. Issue 3. This is a weird one because I feel like we're just like getting into the roots of the story, and then this whole issue is a Penelope issue, like origin issue.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, and it lands on issue 3, and now every time I read an issue 3, I think of what John Layman said, where he's like, issue 3 is always just kind of like the random one, because it's easier to map out like the first two and like last two issues, but issue three is typically like the hardest one.
So what I think this one's important though.
It's
not essential for the main storyline, but it is essential for understanding the society like I wanted.
Exactly.
So
that's a good point.
I also came with a lot of questions. But basically husbands are like bosses, right? Then the women have to do like what the bosses say. And the women that aren't married are like they call it like state sponsored, and that's what Penny was, because she wasn't married prior,
right?
And so she just worked at like this bakery.
Man, we sure do live in a society.
Yeah, and I just picked up on like a racial slur. I think they call black people skins.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's
wait, we all have skin. That's kind of fucked. But I don't know.
But it just sounds like gross.
Yeah.
If someone were to call someone like a skin.
It's kind of fucked.
Because then it's just like actually pointing out the part of their identity and like using it in a derogatory way.
Like trying to make it derogatory. That's like me calling you eyes or something because you have glasses.
I have pretty eyes. I don't have glasses.
Well, you wear them when you don't have contacts in.
That's true. But
I don't have to.
Yeah, you're out here seeing for free. Yeah. But yeah, it's a Penelope or Penny issue. I'm just going to call her Penny.
Penny, sure.
So it opens up with her on Bitch Planet, and she's being brought in to see the council, which is also in like a big room with a bunch of guys on a wall of screens. But they're all different guys. And they mention her offenses that got her there, like assaults, insubordination, and wanton obesity. Do you know what that is?
I think that just means a lot. Or like it's like
wonton. It's a type of Chinese dumpling commonly found across regional. Oh, sorry, that's that is a wonton, but it's not wanton like they spell it here.
Yeah, I was like, I guess she could be.
She looks like a dumpling.
Describe that as cheap. Yeah,
sexually unrestrained or having many casual sexual relationships.
What's that to do with obesity?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Growing profusely. Maybe that's what it is.
That's probably the one. That's the adjective we were looking for.
I was like, maybe there's like, I don't know, obesity sex or something. That's, I guess, against the rules. But anyway, they claim that they want to help, but they're also like being pretty rude to her at the same time. And it flashes back to like her baking with her mom and where she's told to like keep working hard and she'll like grow strong as oak like her dad. And things like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Before like a SWAT team ends up showing up, presumably to take her mother. And the men on Bitch Planet say that she was actually delusional and dangerous and that Penny might be going down the same path. And so I like the flashbacks here because they're more focused on like the halftones, and Thanos getting ice right now. You can probably hear it.
Give me water.
Me water?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You look thirsty.
I am very thirsty. Much appreciated.
Don't spill it.
I'm not going to spill it on my own computer.
I like the art on this a lot because there's all those dots, but like everywhere it feels like.
And then there's like no, there's not really like shading in the flashbacks.
It really so it felt looks, like, you know, 30 years old.
And I think cool. like the pages themselves in the background, ooh, like the white space, they like change color.
They're brown. Yeah.
They're like browner. So it looks, yeah. Oh yeah,
because like old comics are printed on basically like newspaper.
Yeah, and they age really quick, and I don't think they're ever like white to begin with, really either.
What?
Like old newspaper isn't like super white like comic pages today are.
Yeah, it's like a that brown kind of color.
Yep, and so yeah, and this scene kind of confused me more on what like the council actually does. I guess they run everything, but they're also like trying to help people in prison.
It made it seem like, you know, they run this shit. They, but they're also trying to, you know, make the world better in their eyes. So they don't want people on Bitch Planet.
Or maybe the council is just like government in general, and there's like different parts of it. Because it seems like there's a lot of men on there.
Okay, yeah, basically.
I don't know. That's part of the fun of the book, is you kind of have to like piece together what it is, and maybe it's different in your
head.
It
seems like based off of both of our understanding, we piece it together pretty well.
Yeah. So, flashback again. She's in what appears to be an orphanage. Is that what you got from it? For the second flashback scene, she like just punches it. She just beat up a kid for talking badly about her grandma.
I just thought it was a school. I didn't really think about it.
I just am confused about the relationship, but I guess someone that she calls mother.
Oh, that's what they call like the, you know, the person in charge.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was.
Mother, I guess.
Okay. So then the mother there pulled her into the office and was like kind of manipulative, doing things like trying to fix her wavy hair, saying it's like her and doesn't behave or that she will try and teach her to learn to see herself through the father's eyes and shit.
Okay.
It's all like very weird, but that's also like another piece of Penny's identity is just like her hair is like curly or wavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, that was also pretty dark.
Yeah. So it seems like the main concern of the council and like the fathers is women like being up to the standard, these like insane standards for women.
Yeah.
And like focusing on like the male gaze specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
there's
this
more than likely it's just commentary on that.
Yeah. It seems like there's like a point where it goes back to the now and they have something on her head or something and they scan her head to figure out what her like ideal version of herself is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think it'd be someone who's like much thinner, but she it ends up just being herself. And yeah. It's like a mirror image. Mm-hmm. And so they can't like process that.
Yeah.
Because they've, you know, made that standard. And so,
yeah.
They think and everyone would like, be that.
And she like calls back to what her mom used to tell her, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And
yeah.
They're not going to break me. And I thought mm-hmm. that was a cool line. Yeah, that was like at the end. And then the last flashback before that, there's Penny working at like a muffin shop and she's dealing with like shitty customers and going like a little crazy after hearing them and like the news and stuff. She takes like a rolling pin and smacks a dude like upside the head with it and hits the TV and shatters it. But there's a little part in here that I think was super clever, where so they're on the news is still playing and somebody gets like arrested and hold on, I'm trying to find how it. Oh yeah, so on the news it shows that a terrorist was captured and described as like the size of an oak, which is something that her mom said to her to be like as strong as oak if she keeps like eating right or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's supposed to like allude to the fact that her dad was like a terrorist or something.
So I saw it. I thought maybe they knew about someone was calling about her beating up the dude. And then I guess the media switched it around to make it seem like a guy did this. And then just because the curls are the same in his hair.
Well,
and so I thought they were trying to maybe.
But that news is going on as she's going crazy a little bit.
Well, think about like the day and age that this is. Maybe they just have like instant news. But I guess your theory makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's just what it's supposed to allude to, because she looks pretty like shocked by it at the same time when she like hears about that part.
Yeah.
The size of oak. That was kind of an interesting one. So
she hits the dude who called her a skin with a rolling pin, which is satisfying.
Good. Yeah, that was nice to see.
Yeah.
Because that's gross.
He had it coming.
Anyway, yeah, that's issue 3. So kind of like a tangent almost, I would say. But it still tells you a lot.
I'm going to read every fucking book like that now. Like, what's number 3 about?
I am too. Because as soon as it hit number 3, I was like, oh, this is like what John Lehman said.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. So issue 4, the prologue page is Father Josephson at the athlete that died funeral.
One sec. On the propaganda page.
Oh, yeah.
So the council's idea, if like Penny's like ideal version of herself was like a thinner weight, they have like these like weird like medical treatment plans where they just like, I don't know, it's like a virus or something that they send.
Oh yeah,
that they inject people with in order for them to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a
stomach parasite, which I think is actually a thing.
Oh shit. Yeah, and it's like this propaganda says, like, stop being so fat and gross, you big fatty. Like, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I really like just these last pages. We guarantee
you will lose. And then there's another one. It's like, are you non-compliant? And just like shit like that.
Yeah.
And so that really like, kind of like hits home.
Yeah, just like painting the picture of this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I like how it's styled. Like, there's even like one of the things looked like it would be if you were trying to like cut out like a coupon or something because there's like dotted lines around it.
Oh yeah,
That's pretty clever too.
Mm.
Bless you.
Yeah, they're like weird made up advertisements that also tell you how weird this world is.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was cool. So issue 4, the prologue page. Father Josephson is at Ricky's funeral. He's that athlete that died. And Solanza shows up and they start walking off because Josephson clearly doesn't like care about the funeral that he's at. But he says that he is going to give Solanza the funds to run the show on the girls' team. And that's all that we hear from it.
We have breaking news. I just got a notification. I looked at it.
Oh, God. Oh, live breaking news?
Live news on the pod.
Oh, my God.
So apparently the New Mutants is going to be at Comic-Con. Meaning
like the full movie,
like a trailer probably.
Oh,
so we'll get like more looks at it.
Well, dude, I saw this Twitter thread and it was like the first teaser trailer for New Mutants came out in 2017.
October
2017.
I was going to the fucking, I don't know, Kinko's or whatever, like the UPS at ASU trying to print something. And I saw that trailer and I was like, oh my God, this looks great. And I was at ASU. I graduated in 2017.
Yeah. Dude, like in the thread I saw like someone was like, I got out of 2 relationships and I started college and I've been like, it was just like all these things that he's done since that first New Mutants trailer comes out and it's not even out yet.
I've had like 3 jobs since then.
I think I've had 4. I was at my last job. It's so funny to think about.
And I still live here.
I've lived in since 2017. I've lived in like 4 different places.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of crazy.
Do you feel like you don't have a home?
I might be moving again in August. So. dude, movie's a pain in the dick. But as soon as I'm in a place for like a week, I'm like, this is home.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, also a big theme of like the book is that the, like, I don't know what you'd call it. The title page inside the book that shows like Bitch Planet. It's always like a pretty cool looking double page spread.
And then it'd be like,
and there's like dialogue on that page.
Yeah, there's dialogue on the outside of it, and then there's like some image, you know,
inside of
Bitch Planet.
Yeah,
but it's Bitch Planet is kind of like faded to where you can see what's behind it.
I like that. It feels like almost like a Star Wars like thing, like coming out at you.
Yeah,
in a way. So I think this was probably my favorite issue, just because of all the, you get to see a lot of like the antics that like goes on and how sneaky a lot of the people are. But we cut to Cam. In her room, he's being monitored pretty closely by those two men. As she reviews the files for who's going to be on her team, she's given a book by someone that's like walking by, trying to pose as like someone giving her the Bible or something. There's a message in it saying that I have information you need. Go to the back of the showers and I'll find you. And so then we cut to a shower scene where there's a bunch of women that are in line to go to get showers, and she sees like this redhead chick that has like an eye patch thing on her. Her name's Fanny, and she directs her to the back because the guards that are in full gear can't like stay in the back for too long because it gets super hot, I guess. And so they stay by the door.
And they have like no cameras in there.
Yeah, they have no cameras all the way back there. So she's trying to talk to her in the back of the showers. But the redhead meets another girl there and like kisses her. And asks Cam to join in, but she doesn't want to. But the redhead says to fake it because they, even though there's no guards or cameras, they are actually still being watched through a peephole that's in the showers. Because they made this like arrangement deal where if the man behind it doesn't report them, then he gets to like watch them in the showers. So
okay,
it's like a really weird like prison arrangement, but they're still like talking to each other really closely because he thinks that they're making out or something.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was kind of clever, but... they tell Cam that she's going to get killed along with the team that she assembles because they know that she's going to assemble the strongest women that they can, and they're just going to take them all out at once while the whole world watches on the feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
And then again, even though it's just like a big, like naked girl group shower scene, it doesn't like really feel sexualized. It's just honest anatomy, and that's like mainly the point of it is to like show how sneaky the inmates are.
Right.
So. So then, and part of that scene I really like is focusing in on like the peephole from afar, and you see that there's like a dot in the middle of like one of the tiles of the shower.
Right.
But it's kind of cool how it like very slowly like zooms in on it until you see an eye by in the hole. I like that sequence.
It's kind of creepy.
It is super creepy. And then next scene, we're introduced to Megaton, the sci-fi sport of Bitch Planet. There's two like hologram girls that explain the rules, but that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
So it's basically just like football.
It's like rugby, I think.
It's more like rugby, yeah.
Yeah.
But you get from one end to the other. You do passes. The ball's like super heavy, apparently.
Is it? Okay.
And one of the main rules is that
you can
block someone or whatever and like fight them, basically, but it can only be like one-on-one.
Exactly.
That seemed like the only important
rule. And I thought an interesting rule is that you can have however many people, but the cumulative weight of everybody can't go past 2,000 pounds.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like 8 people for 2,000 pounds, but I guess it could be anybody.
Yeah. And so I thought that was interesting. Cam is like there with Whitney while like, I don't know, but there she's like getting the team together. She has Penny recruited and also Miko. And Penny's job is to, get the ball or sorry. Penny's job is to protect Miko while she has the ball and goes through, which works pretty well for them in the test run.
Right.
But my question for you is, do you have a favorite fake sci-fi sport?
Ooh.
Or just a favorite, I guess, sci-fi game? Because there's like the Star Wars chess one, and it's not like a sport, but.
You know, that's a good question. I don't think I have an answer to it, though. Oh, dude. What's it fucking called?
Alita?
No. Sabacc?
Sabacc?
Yeah.
In
Star Wars.
What is it?
It's that one that they play in Solo.
The poker game?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Because, like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Because, like, everyone's got, like, 4 cards, and then, like, Lando's just randomly got 5 cards. I'm like, why has he got 5 cards?
And
then he
wins. He's got, like, a thing up his sleeve, and he's like, oh, I got this.
Yeah, it's basically just poker, and you don't really need to know the rules, but if I had, like, a deck of, like, Sabacc cards, I'd fucking figure it out.
Dude, poker cards that are, like, skins like Sabacc.
And it's, like, that rectangle kind of, like, or the, it's, like, a hexagon kind of shape.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't really, like, I was thinking about them, and I'm like, Quidditch is too easy, and that's, like, actually a thing, and it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, from Alita, the sport where they're, like, on rollerblades.
And oh, dude, what about pod racing?
Yeah, that's probably my answer.
That's way better than Alita's. Alita's was cool.
But you don't understand what's going on, really.
It's just a race.
It's just rollerblading, and it seems like if someone's really good, the game's just going to be really boring.
Because
they're just, like, ahead of everybody doing dunks.
And then everyone's got, like... Wait, did they do dunks in Alita?
Wasn't there a hoop?
I don't think so.
Or do you just have to hold
on
to the
ball? Is there a ball?
There's a ball for sure.
Okay. It's like have the ball at the end. But the thing is that like each person could have the most ridiculous armor because they're all in like these mech suits.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's balanced.
And it wasn't even like fair because everyone had different things, different weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, just make a big ass mech suit. And so, I don't know.
I would like to learn how to play the Star Wars chess game, because I'm sure there's something out there.
Oh, the hologram one.
Yeah.
On the Millennium Falcon. Okay.
Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
If you would have, like, you should have just texted me, like, hey, what's your favorite thing?
No, so I wanted you to be on the spot.
So I could have silence because, for, like, 2 minutes.
Because sci-fi sports never make sense.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think it's funny, but especially when they really try it, almost like this one.
I bet there's a better answer out there.
They're probably... is, but I can't really think of many. But I think Star Wars,
pause it and look it up.
No, I'm not gonna pause it. I'm gonna look at sci-fi sports.
Okay. No pausing.
Actually, maybe I will. I'll cut it out if it's
okay. Do you remember Blurn's ball in Futurama? It's like some baseball kind
of
thing.
Oh yeah, and like the baseball is like tied to the center of the baseball field, right?
I don't remember.
And like when you hit it like gets like elastic everywhere.
I don't know.
That's funny.
I'd like to play basketball.
Oh, for sure, dude. Basketball, that's the actual answer, I think.
It's not science fiction, though. It's just fake.
I think that it works. Blurg's ball is the answer from Futurama.
Anyway.
So if you voted for that, props.
Send in your suggestions. What's the best one?
Yeah. Where were we at? Megaton. Yeah, all right. So they did like a practice run and their strategy worked pretty well, where Penny is just like a big kingpin girl and takes on or knocks down a bunch of guys while Miko goes through and scores. So they're pretty excited about that. And the girls are like in the showers again, all hype because they did good. But Cam sneaks off to the back of the showers right by the peephole, where she intentionally starts like acting all sexy and stuff until the peeper comes up. Cam then rips off one of the shower pipes and knocks down like the wall and grabs the guard and puts him in the chokehold. And like his dick is out and everything because he was just jerking off, I guess.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a thumb,
dude. It does. It's he's definitely uncircumcised. And so she gets a name out of him. His name's Rick, and frames him because saying that she knows that he has three freckles on his dick, so she can accurately call him out for what he's doing, I guess.
Yeah, ransom.
I thought that seems funny because there's like three panels that will like have an arrow pointing to the freckles on his shaft.
Yeah, see, I was looking at that.
It's so funny.
I'm like, all right, that one's right at the base. That one's the second one. I don't know where it's on. It looks like a knuckle.
Yeah.
But then there's another one on the other side of the base.
Yep.
So where's that middle one at?
Dude.
Tell me where on his dick.
Is that under, you think? Like maybe it's like up a little bit?
No, it doesn't really look right.
Or maybe that's like later down the shaft.
That's being too generous, I think.
That we could pan down.
Yeah. Anyway,
but she counted them really. So do you think her plan was like knock it down, understand what his dick looks like, so I could frame him?
This plan
is very.
It probably risky. Just worked out. She probably didn't have the plan, but then she's like, "Ooh, she's like,
this guy's got three freckles on his dick."
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that's part of like how she blackmails him.
So he's got to like help her.
Yeah. So they're. Like she's forcing him to be his partner, and she wants him to make sure that he's on the Megaton team patrol because he's going to act like a mole, I guess.
Yeah. So,
and then his first task is to help Cam find her sister, which we did not previously know that she was on Bitch Planet. That was like the last thing that she said.
I'm just reading the propaganda.
Oh yeah,
there's one that says your vagina is disgusting.
And yeah, get by when we comply. That's so fucked up, dude.
Yeah. Wait. Flower Patch Snatch. That's the name of that product.
Oh, I missed that. That's so funny.
I'm just noticing it now. There's another one that says you'll never be enough.
Yeah, dude, it's horrible.
I'm like, this is brutal.
I know. She laid into it. Slippery when wet. It's like crying from your girl parts. And it's for Niagara. Like the falls.
It's like Viagra, but it's called Niagara.
Like, and then there's a waterfall behind it. That's pretty funny.
That's a great idea.
That's hilarious.
That's a great product.
Yeah.
Because
that's like the one genius,
thing,
actually.
This is one thing that could work in the real world.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a good product. Like, it might be a product.
It's like a pill to make sure you get, like, wet, I guess.
Yeah.
Like a waterfall. Man.
Women.
Dude, she...
Females, is that a real thing? Is it called Niagara? To make you as wet as Niagara Falls?
It's not, that's a genius. It wouldn't be, because she wouldn't put it in here. She probably thought of that and like put it in there. She's like, this is fucking good.
I think you just use lube. I don't know if there's any medication that would help with that.
I think that's what makes it funnier.
Yeah, this is way better. That's it. I missed that, and it's excellent.
I saw like Niagara, and I was like, oh, it's like Viagra, but I didn't piece it together until right now.
Anyway, issue 5.
Issue 5. This is the prologue with the newsacre talking about the teams of men going up against women in Megaton for the first time. And the man's talking about it and saying pretty sexist things like, I don't know what they're trying to prove, and...
Someone's gonna get hurt,
and they suffer from hormonal and chromosomal imbalances, which are the imbalances that got them locked up in the first place. And I was like, dude, that's that's wow, insane.
Wait, did you mention that Cam has a sister?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
While you were looking at the propaganda,
I was looking.
A thing that doesn't get followed up on this issue at all.
Yeah,
because it's very clearly like for later in the series.
I bet we figure out what happened to her sister in issue 7, and then that final game of like Megaton's like issue 10, maybe 9.
I think I'm pretty sure the book is longer than Tennis Shoes.
Or what last couple. Okay.
Right. So yeah, that's a thing that's going on.
They're advertising as if, like, if they win, they get to go back to Earth.
That's what it sounds like. And that's just like what's on the TV. Father Josephson, like, mutes the TV to meet with a dude named Mac, for short. And he wants to meet with Mac, or he wants Mac to go off world to Bitch Planet and build, like, this mystery facility in 6 weeks, which ends up being, we find out later, it's just going to be like a megaton arena.
Yeah, it's like the stadium for it.
Yeah, and then he says that he'll get an opportunity to see her, is what he says.
Uh-huh.
Then, meanwhile, what was her name? Cam. Cam and the girls are strategizing for their first, like, official game. I guess the last one was, like, a scrimmage or something.
No, this one's a scrimmage. Well, I think that other one, it was kind of like practice.
I don't know. They're super hyped about the strategy.
It's like, anyway, tryouts.
This is like a for real game that they're strategizing. And they go, so
they're just going against the guards.
Right. And they're going over a lot of the plays and stuff, and we meet some more characters that are there. One of the girls' names is Nut, and I thought that was a good name. And they're excited to play against and, like, beat up some guards, take out some aggression. So the game starts and the girls are doing good. They're, like, taking down the guards one on one while Miko has the ball. And then guards start doubling up on Penny, which is supposed to be against the rules, but nothing is, like, being done about it. So clearly this game is kind of rigged. And we cut back to Mac from the beginning, who's there talking with a dude in the bathroom about whether or not he's going to actually go to Bitch Planet, like, off world and build this facility. Mm-hmm. I think that guy ends up convincing him to. And there's a scene where he talks to his wife about it, and she's obviously against it, but Mac feels like he should to get at least a chance to see their daughter again, which is alluded to that it's Miko on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's another planted seed as well. And then we go back to the game, and Cam and the girls are going to make, like, another big push. And Nut is supposed to, like, guard Miko like Penny would, but Penny can't keep up. And so the guards, like, are straight up throwing punches and, like, using their masks to headbutt. And so at this point, everyone's getting hurt from this. And
they're breaking all the rules. There's, like, yeah, double coverage. And yeah, they're, like,
Miss Whitney isn't calling any of the plays, saying that, oh, yeah, it's all legal, even though clearly it's not. And Miko gets to the end and scores. When a guard comes up to her and, like, takes her by the hair and slams her down.
Like, slams her head in the field?
Yeah. With the ref saying that she lost her footing, you know, quote unquote. Clearly that didn't happen. But even though it was an attack, the game was called off as a medical forfeit. And so they end up losing that game. And Miko doesn't respond after this. And it ends up being that she broke her neck during that and is, like, dead. And mm-hmm. That's the end of book one.
Yeah.
So that's where it ends.
That was heavy.
That is heavy, because we just found out that her dad, I guess, is going to go to Bitch Planet and build this facility and find out his daughter's dead.
Year, yeah.
Which I feel like is going to be part of the story later on. Like, maybe,
like,
Mac
father's
will be
going to, like, keep that from him.
Probably, and he's going to figure it out on his own and probably team up with Cam.
Maybe.
I would assume.
I think there's going to be that final match, you know.
Probably,
with whatever team.
And so, yeah, that's also, I think, a turning point, because someone from their team, like, died. And so
yeah,
it's a big place to end.
Now they're angry.
Yeah, it's a big place to end, I guess, but it also feels like this trade is just, like, issue one in a way.
Yeah, there's there is definitely more.
Yeah, so there's stuff that didn't get wrapped up, but obviously because it was a longer series than this.
And that's what the podcast is about, you know. We're just doing the first volume, getting you interested. If you like it, read it and then continue. We're the reason exactly why the comic industry got to $1 billion last year, even though we started this year.
They're going to get to $2 billion this
year. That's our goal.
Yeah. If we hit $2 billion, it's because of us.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to go to Back Matter Matters.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Not a whole lot here in this book. Nice. There's another propaganda page that's more like a bunch of different, like, articles and stuff, but just more like propaganda. It's not like in the style that it was before. It's just like a bunch of different stuff posted up on a wall, from what it feels like.
There's like like a flag. It looks like a poster for a female running for president. It looks, it's like Eleanor for America, but spray painted over it. It's like president bitch.
Yeah. So pretty brutal. And then there's a bitch planet discussion guide, which I think is kind of cool as well. Just talking about like feminism based questions. And there's things like, do you have a favorite prisoner? Is there one that you identify with the most? And there's one where it's like, basically one's like talking about like intersections, like feminism in here and stuff. So I think it's kind of cool that she puts that in there to like, let you know what you're supposed to be thinking about while reading the book.
It's thought provoking.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it does provoke a lot of these thoughts. Just a culture around like feminism and how the retro art plays into that.
Yeah. On the very back of it, there's like, you know, that teaser, I guess, when you read like the back of a book,
uh-huh.
It says, are you non-compliant? Do you fit in your box? Are you too fat, too thin, too loud, too shy, too religious, too secular? Too
prudish.
Prudish, too sexual, too queer, too black, too brown, too whatever it is they'll judge you for today. You just may belong on Bitch Planet.
Yeah.
With like the title thing. So mm-hmm. That kind of helps paint that picture as well.
Mm-hmm. There's also artist bios like there normally are, but I didn't know that Kelly Sue like broke into the industry by adapting Japanese and Korean comics into American, like translating them basically.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was something I didn't know. I read the other ones, but there wasn't anything like super too interesting about it. The artist did like one of the Marvel Knights stories and did like X Factor before she did Bitch Planet. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's Bitch Planet volume one. So overall, I think it's definitely a lot different than anything I've read before, just because mm-hmm. it has that feminism focus.
Yeah. I think that was like a big reason why I liked it. Because if it was just like, oh, we're prisoners, we're trying to get out by playing this game, that's super boring. But yeah. Then also just trying to figure out what this world's about,
yeah,
adds like a lot to it.
And I like the aspect of it that it's like, it's a prison break story, but the prison's like an entire planet. So how do you do that? You know,
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I guess we'll find out. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, clearly they don't want to stay on the planet, but it's also, it has a bunch of other things in it. So definitely interesting. All right. So let's go into the next segment. I actually have a new name that I want to run by you for the pull list.
Okay.
It's going to be, I propose that we call it the pull list, : shove it in my box.
Okay, yeah, I'm down for it. I was like, I like the pull list, though, but it's
pull list, : shove it in my box. So okay. What did you shove in your box today or this week?
So pretty normal stuff that I've mentioned before, like Family Tree, new issue.
Are you caught up?
Nope. It turns out I didn't have like two of the issues, and then
he
put them in my box. He shoved it in my box. Oh. He like knew.
Good old Drew.
Drew like remembered that I didn't have two issues of that series, and he's like, "Hey, you don't have these series anymore. These issues, right?" I'm like, "No. Can you?" And so he somehow remembered. I don't even remember talking about it.
Wow.
But then when I checked, I'm like, "Yeah, I don't have it."
What a guy.
I know. What a dude. Number three of Strange Adventures.
I haven't read it yet.
Number three?
Yeah. Did you read it?
No.
Oh, okay. I haven't read it either.
And then I think it was the last issue of Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, by Matt Fraction.
Okay. Nice.
The husband of Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Yes. That book's wild.
The comic.
That's like a dense book for being like a Jimmy Olsen book.
Yeah. I don't know if it's long or if there's just a lot of dialogue, but.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of dialogue in that one, for sure.
But, you know, he's trying to set up jokes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what about you?
I hardly shoved anything in my box this week.
You got to shove lots of things in your box.
I didn't read really any comics because I haven't been to the shop. I guess the only thing I did is I'm at my parents' place because I'm quarantining. But
you're here.
I'm here right now, but you're fine.
Okay.
We watched like the first episode of Zac Efron's Nature show.
Oh yeah, how's that?
That dude has a beanie for every outfit, I swear.
Dude, me too.
He's got like a white one, like a maroon one, a slightly off-white one.
You don't have a white one.
He makes it work. It was pretty cool. It's very like environmentalist based, and I wanted to watch it because he did like the Hot Ones for it, like promoting that show.
Oh, okay.
And it seems pretty cool, so I watched it and I liked it. But I think the first one is all about how Iceland runs on like renewable energy and stuff, and so it was interesting to hear about that. It was a lot different than what I thought. I thought he was going to be doing like more extreme stuff.
Yeah,
and he does like eat weird things, and so that's funny to see his reactions to it. But yeah, it's all right. I'm not probably going to watch any of the other ones.
Oh,
and I guess I was playing a game called Deep Rock Galactic.
Okay.
And it's a game where you act as like a miner, like someone that mines in like the earth. And
so an under 18?
No. No, someone that mines like rocks and fossils and stuff. But it's like a sci-fi one. So you fly to like these different planets and try and get like... whatever materials you're supposed to, but the catch is that there's aliens all across that planet, and so when you're in there you encounter like a bunch of them, and it's actually super interesting.
Sounds kind of boring. You're digging up rocks.
You're digging up rocks, but you're in caves that are very like tight, and there's like a big horde of aliens and stuff that are coming after you while you're still trying to like mine this stuff.
If I saw like an alien come out to me, I'd be like, get the rocks.
Dude, there's so many like, I think I just like the designs of a lot of them, because a lot of them look like these like crab looking ones, but there's like unique ones and their designs are all like different. Like one of them looks like the Loch Ness Monster, and he shoots like fireballs at you. And so you got to like protect against that with like the equipment that you have and stuff.
Okay.
And the whole like cave system, it's always dark, but you have these like... these like glow stick things that you can throw around and light up particular areas.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, dude. And so you have to be like, you have to be careful with them. They regenerate, but it takes a little bit. So you have to be like strategic with them.
Shit.
And just playing it with friends is fun.
Okay. That doesn't seem too bad. Oh, actually, did I tell you that I watched Moon?
Oh, by Duncan Jones?
I guess so.
Or no, Danny Boyle?
I think it's Duncan Jones. I just know Sam Rockwell's in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a movie you like watch by yourself, because I would not be able to convince Sarah to watch that. And then she would have been
a very
like,
sci-fi movie.
She would have been like, this movie's dumb at the end, but I liked it a lot. It was really cool.
Oh, it was Duncan Jones. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie in forever, but it came out in 2009. I think I watched it at Parker's house around then, but
yeah, super satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't see any of it coming, and so that was cool. And then just like what they were able to accomplish with like so little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love movies like that. They're like creative in that way.
Yeah. And then I also started the new season of Doom Patrol.
Okay. Is that the one that's on HBO?
HBO Max. I still have the DCU subscription.
I do too.
I'm going to cancel it once I finish Swamp Thing.
I think they're sunsetting it for sure.
What's that mean?
Meaning it's still a thing, but they're not adding anything to it, and they're eventually going to like get rid of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In some way.
Yeah, I'd rather just all be on HBO Max. Because Dad's got the Cox subscription, and so we can just sign in with that. It's the same thing as signing in with HBO Go.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's
Doom Patrol. Like, is there any noticeable differences between season one and season two as far as like quality or something?
No.
It's about the same.
It seems exactly the same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But dude, I do not know what it is about that show, but I'm so attached to the characters.
Really?
Because there's 15 episodes in the first season, mm-hmm. so you get a lot of time with all of them.
That's cool.
And you care about like what happens to them. And like the episodes will end, and I'm like, oh, I got to get another one in.
That's good.
I'm like, I got to find out what happens. What's this about?
Yeah.
There's just some like butterflies flying in one episode, and there was like too many butterflies. I'm like, what's that about? And so like,
this seems peculiar.
Yeah. And so I don't know, it's the same vibe as the first season, and there's nothing that really has like cliffhangers that draw you in, but I just like want to watch more.
That's cool.
And even the first season I was kind of moseying along just trying to finish it, like for some reason I just like kept coming back to it and finishing it. It's weird. It's like not a normal superhero show by any means. And
that's good. That. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but it is on my list of things that I want to watch.
Like, I wouldn't be like, Nathan, watch this. Like, I feel like it was a show made for me almost.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only one on the earth watching it potentially.
As long as it's like weird, you know.
Yeah, it does its job of like being like the source material.
Because I think I'm done with superhero shows that are just like normal superhero shows. Like, there are
like superhero CW stuff?
Shows that feel normal, like CW yeah. stuff. Yeah.
Things like The Boys and The Watchmen like stand out.
For sure.
Because this is weird, so that stands out as well.
Cool. Well, then I'll definitely give it a listen.
Yeah.
Or watch.
Watch, yeah.
So, yeah. Next week, we're going to read a book.
Yeah.
Do you know what we should read? Well, actually, I want to bring this up now. Should we read Old Guard for our next independent one and then watch the show?
It's a movie, I think.
Oh, it's a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, is Last Days of American Crime a show?
No, that was a movie, too.
What the fuck? What did I think it was? Okay, well, if it's a show, then that's even better.
Okay.
But should we read Old Guard?
No, it's a movie.
Sorry, if it's a movie, then that's even better.
Yeah.
It's late. Yeah. Would you want to do that for like the next independent book?
Yeah.
Read Old Guard, talk about it?
Yeah, I don't have any kind of like rush to get to it.
Okay. It's number one on Netflix right now.
That's because
even though that's like, derogatory, like not derogatory.
I think just because it's new.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay. But anyway, next week, DC book.
I think we should stick with this process until we like start hitting kind of like dead ends with Marvel and DC to be like, ah, fuck, what should we even do?
There's so much independent stuff that's like great
that I really want to get to.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, I guess not at this point, but I look forward to the independent stuff more.
Right.
And then it's like the DC and Marvel stuff. We're just picking something because we have to pick something for those weeks.
But there still is a lot of good stuff. And I'm sure a lot of it I haven't like read yet either.
Yeah, so, I know that for a fact.
So DC books, do you have anyone in mind?
Do you want to do Doom Patrol?
Which one would you want to do?
I started the Grant Morrison one a couple months ago. I haven't come back around to it. It is like 80s, 90s, you know, so it can be hard to follow. Mm-hmm. There's the newer one with that one guy.
Gerard Way.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that one.
And then it's got, what's his name? Nick Darrington. Nick Darrington.
He's great.
He's awesome. So I think since that one's so new, that'd be kind of cool. And I think it's still going on, right?
They're not that same one since Nick Darrington.
Okay.
That went on for however many issues.
He's
stopped,
like,
and then it started up again a couple months ago.
Okay. So,
yeah, I'm down to do Doom Patrol. I know it's like super wacky and it'll probably be hard to explain.
I think that'd be fun though.
But I think just having those crazy ideas in general is fun.
So. I listened to Fat Man on Batman, like Kevin Smith's podcast.
Uh-huh.
And he had Gerard Way on there and he was talking about Doom Patrol.
Cool.
And he said that the advice that he got from Grant Morrison was that he's like, the Doom Patrol that he wrote was weird, like at that time. And so that weird is kind of like mainstream now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to find like the new weird. And so I think that's what he was trying to do.
That's cool. Yeah. So the whole run runs for 12 issues.
Do we want to do that?
I think let's stick with volume one, but if I like it enough, let's do all 12.
Yeah, I think having the new kind of art and then just Nick Darrington will be like really help me get through it rather
yeah.
than trying to read like an 80s kind of book that I have proven to fall off of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that.
Let's stick with volume one for right now. But
the only reason why I'd actually want to do Grant Morrison's is because that's what the show's roughly
yeah.
based off of.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Doom Patrol, Volume 1.
Doom Patrol. All right.
Sweet. Cool. Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our theme song.
Yes.
I've been forgetting to say that last couple episodes, and I feel like a dick. TradeWarriorsPod@gmail.com. Email us suggestions. Just say hi.
Say what books you like.
If you want to rate us 5 stars on whatever app store you're using, that'd be cool. I'd appreciate it.
Yep.
Or whatever app. Not app
whatever store. App you use for podcasting.
Yeah.
And I'm at more like Nathic on Twitter. At TradeWaitersPod on Twitter.
I'm the real Daniel Natividad on Instagram.
Not the fake one. Get him out of here.
Yeah. I'm on TikTok. I post stuff. It's not comic book related. It's just music. I'm trying to get into that, I guess. Not get into it, but just
figure out.
Just post shit and then see where it goes. See if people like it.
Do you want to say where?
Oh yeah, at? It's dot like period Daniel Alejandro.
You want to spell Alejandro, or is that that's a standard
Alejandro like the Lady Gaga song?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, that is it.
Okay, bye.
All right, later.